Well, Lisa, here we are. This year's going by so quick.
I can't believe it's March.
I know. I think it's because of how many places we've been in the beginning of the year. I mean, Lisa, do you realize starting the beginning of the year, January 4th, we've been to Singapore, Vietnam, Indonesia. We've been to New Zealand, Australia, Egypt, Israel, and Russia, all in the first 2 months of the year.
Now, just to be clear, you didn't go to Russia, and I didn't go to New Zealand or
Australia.
Right.
But all the others, we were there together.
Absolutely.
And I think my life has been forever changed. Our lives have been forever changed by Vietnam, without a doubt. It was amazing. I mean, here we are, and there's five communist countries left in the world, and that would be North Korea, it'd be Laos, China, it'd be Cuba, and Vietnam. And the Vietnamese government actually invited us to come and hold a family and marriage conference. And we kind of strayed from the boundaries of the family and marriage and preached on a lot of different areas. And the government had plants in the service. And they actually said to the top leaders at the end of the conference, we like what's happened, and we want to invite the Beveres to come back. And so I'm just in awe. We had about 3,500 leaders from all over the nation come.
But we had nearly 150,000 people watching online, and that was what blew us away. That was so amazing. The Vietnamese people were so gracious. The government officials were so kind. Yes, they were watching us like hawks, but they were kind and they were excited, and they said that we could come back, and that was amazing. And you know, that's because of a number of our partners sowing very generously into that
and praying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I've never experienced before where I've had armed policemen outside my hotel room door to make sure I didn't do anything wrong. But you know, I just have a real appreciation for the people of Vietnam, the country, for the government.
It's a beautiful country and an amazing people.
The government to be that open, yeah. Yep. And so, anyway, keep praying for Vietnam. And
God's doing something there.
I'm just so excited about what we're talking about these next three podcasts. We're going to talk about forgiveness, and it's the heart of Calvary. It's the whole reason for Calvary. God chose to forgive us when we didn't deserve it.
Right.
And how amazing to be able to have the privilege to do the same with people who have hurt us. And so
I love how you frame that, the privilege of doing the same.
Yes.
Most people are like, I have to do it. I have to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. It's not a privilege. It's a pain.
Well, you know, the year that I went through of pretty much torment of being in unforgiveness, I didn't see it as a privilege, but now I sure do. After seeing the peace,
yeah,
the reconciliation, the fruit that comes out of truly forgiving as God has forgiven us. And so, I just want to start with a scripture. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer, he said, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. So here's the basic truth. The way we forgive is the way we will be forgiven. And that's in the Lord's Prayer.
And that's not always good news for every person, but you can change that and make it good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're still drawing breath, you can still forgive.
Yes, yes. And the reason we can forgive is because God shed abroad his love in our heart. And it was his love that motivated he and Jesus both to perform this amazing, amazing reconciliation act to bring us back to him. And so, another scripture I want to read that I think is just so powerful is Colossians 3:13, and it says, make allowance for each other's faults. Now, I love that.
We were laughing about this.
Make allowance, which means everybody's not perfect. And if you're going to have relationships, you have to realize people are going to make mistakes. So if you make allowances for their mistakes, their faults, then you're going to have a lot easier time to forgive. And it says, and forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must, and this word is so powerful, must.
Yeah, it's an imperative.
Forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on that, where are we going today?
Well, you know what, John? It was so exciting. With our team, they put a bunch of questions out there on Facebook. And we asked people, tell us about your challenges with forgiveness. Tell us about the areas. Tell us about some unique situations situations that you would want us to discuss. And so we've got some questions. And the first category we're going to kind of have as an umbrella for these questions is when you have an offense or you've been in a situation where it's hard for you to forgive somebody that's a church leadership or a fellow believer. And so one of the first questions that came up was, how do you handle hurts and offenses committed by people and sometimes multiple people in church leadership, especially when they are still in leadership? This is a tough one. I'm throwing it to you, John Bevere. What do you think?
Well, thanks. First of all, thanks for throwing that to me. This is something that's not rare. It happens a lot. And I do know that David said it wasn't an enemy that reproached me. This is Psalm 55. He said, but it was you, my brother, my equal, my companion. We went to the house of God together. We heard the word of God together, and yet you have offended me. And that's a paraphrase, the Bevere paraphrase of what David said in Psalm 55. But why is it hard to forgive another believer, and especially a leader? It's because our expectations are higher on them. You know, we have a certain level of expectation on unbelievers. We really basically expect nothing from them. We expect them almost to hurt us sometimes. We have a level of expectation that we place on believers, and then we have a level that we place on leadership, and then we have a level that we place on our spouses. And to the degree that we elevate our expectations on somebody is the degree we can be offended. So the person the person who can hurt you the deepest is the person who's closest. Now, how much more a spiritual leader, somebody you're looking to be fed the word of God if they hurt you? And I know, Lisa, in my own situation, the one who hurt me the deepest, the one that actually caused me to write the entire book, The Bait of Satan, was a spiritual father. Mm-hmm. And it was devastating, mm-hmm. the things that were done. And it took me a long time to get over that. And I remember I kept fasting. I was praying. And Lisa, you walked through this with me. I mean, talk to me about it. I mean,
well, you know, I know that we're going to have opportunity to talk about that healing process. But here's, I think, the challenge. Like, you know, when David's talking about a peer, it was you, my brother. It was you, my brother. But this is talking about a church leadership. And, you know, something I thought about, you know, God wants you to go to church where you can feel safe and receive. And if if you're offended with leadership and you can't receive from them, you know, it's really not your place to rebuke them or come to them and say, hey, I'm upset. And then maybe you need to step back and go to another church for a while. And, you know, and find a church where you can plant and you can heal and you can flourish. If you don't feel safe because the church is still in leadership. Now, every situation is going to be different on this, but when I say when multiple people in church leadership, a church is supposed to be a family, a related community. It's not this hierarchical system. So if you can't have conversations and have restoration and they're thinking these people shouldn't be there anymore, then I just wonder if it's a healthy church dynamic for this person to be in. Might be healthy for somebody else.
You know, the Bible also says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I think the first thing you want to do is do everything you can to bring reconciliation. I will say this as a leader. I have probably done things that hurt people that I was completely
unaware of. Right.
Unaware of.
Sure.
And
we all have.
It would help. It helps me in the past when those people came to me and said, John, you did this. And I went, oh, I mean, it just happened last week, Lisa. I had somebody that had been carrying something with me for 3 years, and I had no idea. I thought everything was fine, and boy, did I go over the top and apologize because I was devastated that this person had carried that hurt for 3 years. So first of all, you have to approach your leader not in a way to tell him how badly he's treated you,
right?
But you should go with the attitude of, I want to be reconciled here. He may be completely oblivious to what he's done or she's done, the leader. And so coming with a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of wanting to reconcile.
Sure.
And you know what? Let's say that you don't see eye to eye, but there could still be some healing. I mean, I've been in situations before when people have looked at me and said, you know, I don't see it the way you do. I had a situation with another leader, a church leader, and we had a pretty long talk about 6 months ago. And he said, you know, and I was so respected him for this. He said, you know, John, I just don't see it like you do. He said, but you know what? I'm going to agree that we love these people, we love each other, and let's keep building a relationship together.
See, and so I love that. And let's move beyond this specific one. What about, it says, what does biblical restoration, because you're kind of like paving way for that, look right. like in the church? And what does it look like outside of the church? So you've said you sat down, you guys agreed to disagree, but you agreed that you loved people and you agreed that you had the same purpose and you loved each
yes.
other. And so I think that's really important.
But you know, he had already forgiven me and I had already forgiven him. Well, I don't know if I can't say that he had forgiven me. I had already forgiven him before I called him. Okay. He had done something and I've realized I'd had to talk to him about it. And he was upset with me thinking I had done something and it was a miscommunication.
Sure.
But I knew him. I said in my heart, I said, God, I got to make sure that I have forgiven him. I'm not holding anything against him before I talk to him. Because what a lot of people do is when Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go to him. They use that as a license to go just vomit mm-hmm. on their friend mm-hmm. or their brother or their leader, what they've done. And that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, he forgave us from the cross before we ever said, I'm sorry. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He wasn't just talking to that generation, but right down to us. So we have to forgive before we can ever approach somebody for reconciliation. So there is a difference. Reconciliation means our relationship's completely restored. We're back as if there wasn't any debt at all between each other, anything done, and we're starting to build anew. That's reconciliation. Sometimes reconciliation is not successful. Sometimes reconciliation, the person just is like, I don't want this.
Or there's not an opportunity for it to happen. You know, so I think this is the most complicated dynamic is when you have leaders and then churchgoers and they have that high expectation, like you said. They have this expectation that they're never going to do anything wrong. They're never going to have a bad day. They're never going to be short with them, and then all of a sudden that happens, and they've set them up so high, then there's that huge fall, and then there's a deep wounding. So, you know, we go to them. You said you go to them, but you get it settled in your heart first so that you aren't going to right. hurt them or make them pay, but you're right. going to them because you want to receive with from them. You want to still be in relationship. We had a situation where we had to pull back for, you know, we were in a church, and it became rough, and we had to pull back, and then that time passed and we all sat down and had a great conversation where we, you know, we all loved God and, you know, and there was a misunderstanding. We were all able to sit around the table and say, we're for you, we love you, and let's put all this in the past. And it was a great thing. But, you know, so I think it's a mistake to think you'll never have a conflict in a church. But, you know, the truth is you don't want to go to a church where you can't receive. You know, you either, if you can't fix it, you need to go be part of a body where you
but
can
you
go and
receive.
But you always
need to keep in the forefront of your heart and mind is as much as possible depends on you, live
right.
peaceably. And I think you need to ask yourself, if I've done everything I can do to facilitate the forgiveness and then the reconciliation that is needed in this relationship, I think sometimes we tend to give up early, prematurely. And I do know that God says when you leave, you'll go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. And so I don't believe that it's right to leave a church holding an offense because you're not leaving in peace. I believe that if there is no possible way of bringing reconciliation, that you make sure there's that peace in your heart to where you're not holding anything against that leadership anymore before you go ahead and go to another church. I think that's crucial because I will say from the other standpoint, I've talked to so many pastors that have said, oh, John, it's so sad. I watch people come from other churches that have been hurt and they mm-hmm. bring the offenses right mm-hmm. in. And pastors have told me, and I know this is true biblically, John, they can't get the proper healing until they go back and make it right. Even if the pastor won't make it right, they go back and what they
and
do
as much
is they,
as possible.
In as much as possible. So that's the real important key, that you know you've done everything possible to facilitate forgiveness and reconciliation.
That's so good. Well, yeah. I think it's, and I also think, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, leaders need to be covered in prayer, you know, and I think, you know, I know as a leader, you know, I offend people without ever wanting to, but when I do, it's not like I'm like, oh, I want to hurt people. You know, I need grace and I need mercy and I need people to pray for me just as much as, you know, other people ask me to pray for them. You know, there's definitely a need, and there's an attack on the body, and the body, you know, it's the enemy wants to divide it, and it wants us to be angry with our leaders, and it wants the leaders to be afraid of the sheep. And we can't do that. We need to be in an interconnected relationship, and we need to have community and connection so that we can bring healing. So I think these are great, great points. John, thank you so much. This is just the beginning of a series on forgiveness. So stay tuned for this.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. We're excited to announce John's new online course, The Bait of Satan, a course on overcoming offense and learning how to forgive. For more information, visit baitofsatan.com to receive 3 free video previews. Until next time.